570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet. Day before Thanksgiving on AM 570 LA Sports. If you missed any of the show today, Adam Lawson was great.
Yeah.
Saltier did a great job.
Saltier knows his, you know what.
He really does.
When it comes to, and not just Clippers. I mean, obviously, he does the Clipper pregame. It's all into the Clippers. But just NBA in general. You know, we talk a lot and give a lot of props to David Vasse in baseball with the Dodgers. But Adam Lawson on the basketball side is good as it gets.
Yeah, he really is one of the best in town. We're thrilled he was on. And if you missed it and you want to hear it, download the free iHeartRadio app. You can podcast the show every day. It's really simple. If you don't have it, go to the App Store, just download it. Then you can listen to the podcast. Kevin puts it up the minute we're off the air. And you can also listen to us live wherever you go streaming. I know a lot of our FedEx folks and UPS folks, our drivers that listen all the time, they're listening on the app. So you can listen anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. We always can be with you, and we appreciate the opportunity to do so. So please download the free iHeartRadio app. Now, with Thanksgiving tomorrow, we need spirituality. Not only for a day where we spend it with family. And don't forget Rogan's Heroes Thanksgiving on after the Bills Saints game tomorrow night on Channel 4, our football family. So we need to come together, share, unite, and this must carry us all the way until Monday. So to provide that spirituality, we crave. We welcome on Vic the Brick. Hopefully he's using one of the haiku masters today. With the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Oh, let the wafting of the sweet potato pie emanate through your soul. Good afternoon, Fred. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Vic. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rodney Peet. An incredible Thanksgiving to you and the Peet family.
Thank you, VTB, and all the best to the Jacobs over there. Do your thing, Vic.
Thanks so much. A sensational Thanksgiving to the executive producer of the Rogan and Rodney Show. His cornucopia always runneth over. It's Kevin Figgs.
Hi, King Flavor. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Thank you, K-Fig.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more than a rainbow. He is a child of love. He is the audio arc that goes right to our soul on a momento basis. It's Ronnie Fassio.
The King Flavor, the flavor that you crave on.
Happy Thanksgiving, Ronnie.
Vic,
to you
I love
and the
you,
family.
Vic. Happy Thanksgiving to you and you going stony.
Well, a man
there. Hey, Vic, let me ask you a question.
Hi.
So, did you say hi?
I said hi.
Okay.
Yes. Japanese,
yes,
Fred.
It's a Japanese phrase. Okay. I use it a lot. You know why?
I think, what?
I'll tell you why I use it a lot.
Why?
It's short.
Are you saying the people in Japan are short?
No, the sentence is short and impactful.
Oh, okay. Hi.
There you go.
Vic, we were talking about this earlier. Is there a family member that you prefer not to see at Thanksgiving?
That's a great question. When I was a young briquette growing up in New York, I had no idea who my relatives were because, we saw them maybe once a year. And we lived in Brooklyn, and they might have lived in the Bronx, or they lived, scattered around the boroughs.
Yeah.
Uncle Mike was a goofy guy. I remember Uncle Mike. Never looked forward to Uncle Mike because he'd get in your face and his head was like a red beet, and he just started drinking.
Yeah.
Uncle Mike, I would have to say, he wasn't a good drunk, you know what I'm saying?
Was his head a red beet before he started drinking or after?
He came in like a red beet.
Okay. So he'd been drinking
a lot.
He
came in with, you know, cocktails flowing.
Okay. Yeah.
And he left with cocktails flowing. And I never really got a great chance to understand him because I was like, you know, I'm 8 years old. But I did get a vibe from Uncle Mike that he was a little out of control.
Would Uncle Mike ever come up to you and start, you know, tickling you, and you'd laugh, and he'd go,
no.
Are you ticklish? And then you'd say, yeah, and then he'd go, I thought you were Jewish.
No, he just drank.
Okay.
Wait, is that a Jewish thing, Fred?
Uncle Louie used to do that to me.
Oh, did he?
Uncle Louie?
Yeah. Grandma's fancy man.
Did you sit on his lap, Fred?
No.
I remember the story about...
You sat on his lap, Fred?
No. Sicko. Right?
Come on, little Freddy. Sit on my lap, Freddy.
Come here, Freddy. I got a story to tell you.
Freddy, get that quarter out of my pocket.
I'm just happy to see you.
Uncle Louie was not like that.
Sounded like it was related to Uncle Mike.
Uncle Louie was a good time. Uncle Louie was a really nice man. He made Grandma happy.
I was going to say your grandmother thought so, right?
Yeah, Grandma was happy.
There you go. Let there be harmony everywhere. Blessings to all our listeners. Thank you for listening, and we love you. And a blessed Thanksgiving to all our listeners and families, because you make it happen. You make it pop. We're here for you, and we love you guys. And it's amazing the impact, you know, the haikus generate. I'll tell you, Fred, Rodney, K-Fig, Ronnie, you never know when you fly that out there what happens. Well, yesterday, Brenda, a good friend, and Daryl.
Yes.
Brenda's going through chemotherapy treatments.
Yes.
And she heard the haiku yesterday.
She did?
Yes, she did. And she and her husband, Daryl, texted me haikus for the show today, and I wanted to read them to you.
Oh, that's very nice. So they sent the haiku.
Exactly.
Okay, do we want to do that now? Do you also have your own haiku?
No, this is the haiku. This is from Brenda and Daryl.
Okay.
This is first from Brenda.
All right.
Rogan and Rodney, support sent over airwaves. Feel me feeling you.
Brenda, thank you.
Beautiful. That's what I'm talking about.
That was really sweet.
This is the impact.
Beautiful.
And we're so blissed out that Brenda is getting stronger. You know, she is a warrior. Daryl is a warrior. And this came from Daryl. This is Daryl's haiku.
All right.
The shoes on the porch, waiting to walk the no path. Acorns everywhere. I'm feeling you. Daryl.
Daryl really wanted to come up with like a haiku master haiku.
Yeah.
Oh, Daryl's a sensational writer.
Yeah.
I can tell.
That's all you got on Daryl?
These are haikus, Fred.
Okay.
They're short and succinct.
Okay. Well, that was really good, Vic. That was really good.
I want to thank Brenda. Brenda, we send our mad love to you, our healing to you. She's undergoing, as I addressed, the chemotherapy. I've been through it. Millions have been through it. And we understand the journey a little bit. And every journey is different, of course. But if you're surrounded by love, you're going to get to the other side. And you're going to heal. And you're going to heal quickly. Feeling the love of all our listeners, AM570, LA Sports, and our family here at the radio station, our incredible iHeart Media cluster. All our love. And happy Thanksgiving, Brenda. Happy Thanksgiving, Daryl. And thank you for listening to the shows. And feeling you!
It's lit. Fire. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our buddy Jacob and Ronnie. He was on the other day and he said, look, you might not know this, but Thanksgiving can be a really tough weekend if you're out traveling, if you're walking. You could find yourself in trouble. You could find yourself in an accident. Jacob has people in the office every day this weekend. If you have a problem, if you get into an accident, we don't want you to. But if you do, you've got to call Jacob and Ronnie. He is the best in the business.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
So as we spoke with Adam Olsen last hour about the Lakers taking on Indiana tonight, and some bad news, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, both listed as questionable for the game tonight. Needless to say, if neither of them suit up, if you are one who's prone to throw a wager, you might want to throw it all up on Indiana tonight there, Fred.
Wait a minute. What happened to LeBron?
He's listed as questionable.
What's the question?
It's a good question.
His knuckles. His knuckles.
Right? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we know he was not fully recovered from the abdominal injury initially when he came back. So he might be chronically questionable for the next few weeks as he works his way back into shape.
How many games would that be that he missed? Counting, I
think 10 or 11, I think.
Counting the suspension. And what did they play, 20 games?
Thereabouts, yeah.
God, he's missed half the games.
19, because they're 9 and 10.
Okay, they're 9 and 10. If he's missed 10 games, he's missed more than half the game. Well, I'm just surprised. I thought he was okay to play.
Well, you know, and the crazy part, and they didn't say what it was, right, Kevin? He just said questionable?
I don't see an official listing as to why he's questionable, but he's just questionable.
Because the abdominal strains, that's a tricky one. That can go away, come back, feel good for a day, for a week, and all of a sudden one little movement can trigger it again. And it's one of those strange, crazy type of injuries that can linger. And hopefully, you know, you hate to say it with injuries, you know, hopefully he's over the abdominal and maybe something minor else. But man, the abdominal one is one of those, it's like a groin. It's like, a hip flexor or something like that, that just feels good. But you do one wrong movement, like I said, and all of a sudden it comes back.
What happened to the Lakers' momentum after the whole Motor City Madman incident with LeBron and Stewart? They were supposed to generate momentum from that. It was supposed to be a crossroads run where they come back, beat the Pistons, they go into New York, and Melo, you know, can't find the hoop last night. If Melo hits a few shots, the Lakers win that game. But what happened to the momentum? Is it just game to game? Really doesn't matter anymore, this injury report. To me, it's bogus. You know Anthony Davis is going to rock. He was sick as a dog last night in New York. He still played, you know, decent. You know, but that was Russell's game. Russell played an amazing third quarter. And, of course, I don't know where LeBron watched that game, somewhere in New York. If you saw that picture of LeBron slinking around in some hoodie, he didn't want to be photographed, looking for a place to watch the game in New York City.
How about the hotel?
Just go back to your room. It's the Four Seasons, right?
They weren't showing it on local. Blacked out locally. You had to go someplace to see it.
First of all, no, it wasn't. Blocked out locally.
Four Seasons blocks it out.
I don't want anybody to see me watching the game, so I'm going to walk around in a hoodie because nobody would think it's me. If you don't want anybody to see it, stay in your room and watch it.
You're right, Ronnie. There's a bunch of 6'8", 260-pound dudes just walking around the street.
Exactly.
LeBron blends right on in, hoodie or not.
Guys can't blend in, those sons of...
No.
Football guys can blend in unless you're a lineman.
True.
Yeah, unless you're, you know, Aaron Donald when your traps have traps, you know.
Exactly.
One of those.
Yeah, but the problem in New York, the fans don't even know who the Jets or Giants are because they're irrelevant. Who wrote that?
Well, hopefully Corey Seager's not headed to New York and he'll stay right here with the Dodgers. There was some good news that came out on that front yesterday from John Heyman from MLB Network. He says that the Dodgers are actively trying to bring back Corey Seager and they are not seriously interested in other big name free agent shortstops. And Andrew Friedman was actually a guest on MLB Network yesterday. High Heat, I believe, was the show he was on. He says the Dodgers are, in fact, aggressively trying to bring Corey Seager back, which is great news for Dodger fans.
It is great news. Now let's see if they can do it. But if they do it, you know, again, My deal is this. Give him what he wants. It's number of years. But if they want to bring him back and pay him for however many number of years, great. You don't want to see him leave. And if they're willing to spend the money, go get him. Bring him back.
You know how I feel. You know, that's my guy.
I know.
I love Corey Seager. I love what he brings. I like, you know, he's just one of those. He's a Dodger, right?
Yep.
And you know, we all know what that means. He brings his lunch pail to work, and he comes and does his business. He doesn't talk about it. He just comes to play every single day, and he showed up in big moments. And to me, that's invaluable. So I just hope that they do everything they can to keep him on the team.
Dodger fans, I'm feeling you, and happy Thanksgiving. Listen, there's a lot of shortstops out there demanding, you know, 10-year, $300 million contracts. But there's only one shortstop who actually is an MVP in the NLCS and the World Series, and his name is Corey Seager. You go after Seager, you know, with full Guggenheim De Niro, because he has proven that he is super clutch. While these other shortstops, and I'm talking about, you know, the Turners of the world, the Trey Turners. I'm talking about, you know, these Wandas. I'm talking about these Trevor Stories. They've never been there. They've never produced like Corey Seager. Seager has. Seager has met the moment, grasped the jugular, and squeezed. That's why you go after Corey Seager so hard. Because, number one, he's super clutch. And he is within the organization, was groomed and nurtured by the Dodgers. So
yes.
you go guns blazing for Corey Seager. So you
guns
go.
Blazing.
You go. Guns blazing for Corey Seager. Now, come on now.
Come on.
Come on.
Oh, guess what? Aaron Rodgers is back in the news again. So we know he missed a game for COVID, came back off the COVID list and had this mysterious toe fracture. Mm. And you ask, how could you injure your toe when you've been sitting at home doing nothing? He says it's a fracture. He initially joked. Now, he makes his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show. Yesterday, he said that he had COVID toe.
Right.
Says it was a symptom. And we're finding out a lot of people didn't know this was actually a thing, but it is.
It's a real thing. It's
yes.
an actual thing. I didn't
yeah.
know it either.
Yeah.
It can, I heard him say it.
It can actually affect you. Now, it's not, obviously, it's a more of a skin issue on the exterior of your foot and less of a fracture. Aaron Rodgers was called into question when he came to the podium earlier today. He was asked about his COVID toe. He says, look, it's not COVID toe. I was joking. I actually have a fracture on my toe. Here, let me show you. Aaron Rodgers picked up his foot during his press conference and put it on the podium and pointed out where his toe was actually fractured. That is the first time I've ever seen anything like this in my life in watching professional sports, Fred.
Well, the reason he did it is because nobody believes him. That's why he did it.
Don't believe me? Yeah.
Don't believe me? Let me show you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what I told you before and I lied about, don't worry about that. I'm going to tell you something again. We don't believe it. Well, here it is. Yeah, anytime he says anything now, he's going to have to prove it. Anytime.
Yeah, no doubt. You're absolutely right, Fred. He lost all his credibility. But I will say, you know, and apparently got stepped on with the toe to fracture it. But that big toe, and was it his right toe or left toe, Kevin? Do we know?
I believe it's on his left foot.
Oh, that's actually better than the right foot, because the right foot is one you push off of.
Yeah.
Yeah, you plant and push off of. I've had a toe. Lasted, like I heard it like week 8 and lasted the rest of the season. It was painful.
What do they
painful.
Do, shoot it up?
Shoot it up, yep. Try to tape it up and wear like a big basketball shoe type of thing, big boot on it. And just, you know, they put a little steel underneath the toe so it's not as flexible. I mean, it's a whole lot, you know, procedure that you have to do, but it's painful.
COVID toe for 600, Aaron. That is rather stunning that he would, you know, reveal his toe in a press conference. I didn't see the press conference. K-Fig, did he actually lift his foot onto the podium?
Oh, yeah, look it up,
and
Vic.
Show the media hordes his toe?
You can see the video or the photos. They're all over the place. He actually lifted his foot up and showed everyone.
I'm good with that. I'm good, but listen, he has a long way to go to establish, you know, credibility. Ever since his immunity crap, he has a lot of damage control. So if he wants to physically reveal, you know, COVID toe, to the media hordes, and I said hordes, so be it. Come on now.
Oh, good.
Now, here's an interesting one. Out of Major League Baseball. So, Steven Matz was a pitcher for the Mets last few years. Good starter for them. Agreed to a four-year, $44 million contract with the Cardinals last night. Now, Stephen Cohen, we know the new owner of the Mets, very outspoken, will not hesitate to put his thoughts and feelings out there on social media. He tweeted this: I'm not happy this morning. I've never seen such unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. I guess words and promises don't matter. Ken Rosenthal followed that up saying, I don't know exactly what happened, but I will say this. Cohen is not the first baseball executive to be frustrated by the end game of a free agent process, but such is the nature of free agency. Even the wealthiest owner cannot control the decision making of a player and his agent. So now John Heyman followed that up by saying the Mets had the impression he was going to come back to them for a final chance, basically a counteroffer. But apparently they were not presented the opportunity to do that. So Stephen Cohen and the Mets are upset that apparently Stephen Matz told them he was going to give them a chance to counter, and he didn't do that. He just signed with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that works. You know, for the owner of the Mets to come out and say, you know what, we don't like this. Something happened. Somebody didn't follow through on something. And maybe at the end of the day, Stephen Matz just said, I want to go to St. Louis. Any agent has to be the heavy.
Could be simple as that, Fred. You know, hey, I don't even want to go back to them. It's not even worth it because I want to be a Cardinal. I'm going to sign with them. And it could have been just that simple. And like you said, that the burden becomes on the agent. Go handle that for me.
Right, that's why I pay you.
Yeah. That's why I pay you. Go tell them I ain't coming.
Something stinks in Queens. First, they lose out on Thor, on Syndergaard. He goes to the Angels.
I don't know if they lost out on him. $21 million a year for a guy who's pitched two innings?
In 2 years?
He had surgeries for it.
I understand, but wouldn't you want to have a little bit of a sample size before you jump in?
I think it was a sigh of relief. If it took $21 million to keep him, they probably would pass on that one.
Yeah.
Well, the Mets need every pitcher they can get. And to lose out on Matz, who really had a nice year last year, shows frustration. And yeah, Stephen Cohen is not the most verbal, you know, of owners. So for him to say, yeah, I got screwed by an agent is quite rare. Yeah, but join the club, Cohen. Join the club. Come on now.
Come on now.
The Raiders seem to be rapidly fading. Have lost a couple in a row, and they've dealt with their share of drama this season. Now, we know Mike Mayock is the general manager in title, but all the decisions and all the strings are being pulled by their former head coach, John Gruden. So Ian Rappaport was a guest on the Pat McAfee Show. That's come up a lot already today. But he was asked about Mike Mayock and whether or not he's going to keep his job as the general manager of the Raiders next year. Ian said that his job is going to be evaluated by Mark Davis at the end of the season, which I feel like that happens every year, but I think it's especially notable because Mike Mayock was hired by John Gruden, not by Mark Davis, Fred.
That is not a ringing endorsement.
No.
That is not, you know what? Refinance your house. That wasn't that. That was, well, we'll look into it, which tells me that they may go in an entirely new direction, Rodney.
We're going to evaluate at the end of the season. That makes, yeah, that is, pack your bags. It's definitely not a ringing endorsement. And to your point, Kevin, hired by John Gruden, you know, Mark Davis, especially the way the season is kind of turned right now, it feels like they bonded for a minute after the Gruden thing. And the Henry Ruggs thing, I think, just really, really sent them spiraling.
And then the guy with the gun?
Yeah, and then the other guy with the gun.
Yeah, David Arnett, yep.
Yep. It's just like they can't wait. It feels like they just can't wait to get this season over with as fast as they can. And I think if Mark Davis is, I don't know this for a fact, but it feels like he is ready to clean some house in Vegas.
You know, you forget, Rodney, but somebody you know, and I knew him casually, but you knew him, Mark Bedane, who was the president of the Raiders.
Right. Yep.
Suddenly resigned right before the season started.
Yep.
And he was instrumental in the move. He'd been with them for years.
Everything.
You lost the president. You lost the coach. You're probably going to fire the GM. One receiver is going to go to prison. God knows for how many years, but he should. Another guy's waving around a gun. He's off the team as well. They've had a terrible year.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. And that's why they could do it for a minute. They rallied for a game or two after that. But now it just it does feel like so much distraction has really taken its toll on that team.
Yeah.
And you look at Derek Carr right now. He's just it doesn't even feel like he has the life in his eyes that he once had. Right.
Agree.
They look really listless against the Bengals this weekend.
Yeah.
Spiraling into oblivion on the Plata y Negro. You can feel it. We're all rooting for the Raiders to snap out of this funk. But unfortunately, as you said, Rodney, Carr has been totally mediocre the last month. Front part of the schedule, he looked fantastic. You know, but as our NFL expert Vinny has told us, there's something wrong with the squad fundamentally now. You could feel it. And now they're going into Dallas on Thanksgiving tomorrow to play the Cowboys. They can get blown out. They can get blown out tomorrow by 30. Or they could rise up. I don't feel them rising up. I feel them going down pretty hard in Dallas tomorrow.
Big, pretty fair assessment. They could go out, get blown up by 30, or they could rise up.
Yeah.
Rise up and lose by 20. Oh, come on now.
You know, either way, you can hear
either
that.
Either way, they're going down hard in Dallas tomorrow.
You can hear that game as well as the other two football games here on AM 570 LA Sports tomorrow. And that is what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Yep.
Eve of the Turkey Day.
You know what? Any way you want to say it.
Hey, Fred, when you go to Thanksgiving, when you see, you know, and you've been to a lot of them, you know, see different types of food on the table. When you see certain types of food, do you run away? Which food do you run away from that you like, oh, they got that. I'm not eating that.
Brussels sprouts. I run away from Brussels sprouts. Yeah.
Do you?
I'm not a Brussels sprouts guy. I don't like that. You know what? It's the only holiday of the year where I'll eat stuff that I consider mushy. I'm not a mushy guy.
You don't like mushy?
I don't like mushy.
But you do like stuffing from what
I love stuffing.
But you don't like, you're not a mashed potato kind of guy.
No.
No?
No, for whatever reason, no. Mm-mm.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like mushy?
I don't like
baked potato?
Baked potato I enjoy.
But not a mashed potato?
Nah, not really.
Macaroni cheese?
Not so much.
No?
Anything mushy. Fruit that's soft is mushy. I don't eat it. I'd like to have a banana where I bit it and broke my teeth.
You like them green? Is that what it is?
I do.
As green as possible?
Right. Right. I want an apple that if I threw it at you, it'd knock you unconscious. I don't like food that's soft and mushy. I'm just not a mushy guy. All right. Well, let's bring on the proprietor of Nightcast Media, our dear friend Nick Hamilton. Nick, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, guys. Nothing mushy about me.
Well, no, you are rock solid, man.
That's right, Nick. That's right.
People meet you. You're a big dude.
Yeah, I'm solid, not salad.
That's right. That's right. And you have big Thanksgiving plans?
I'm going to mom's house. I'm going to be plate stacking all day. So that's what I'm doing.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, Nick.
You better help mama clean up, though, afterwards, Nick.
Hey, I stay out her kitchen. My mom is one of those women. She does not like you being in the kitchen but her. So whatever she wants, I will do it, but I stay out of her way. Know what I mean, Roger.
Yes, I do. Yes,
oh,
I do.
Oh, well, here you go.
All right, Nick. So for people that don't know about Nick, he's around town. He talks to everybody. He's probably at more events, talking to more people than anybody, and that's why we love bringing him on. And you talked with the Chargers, right? You talked with Mike Williams.
Yeah, Mike Williams, they had an incredible victory on Sunday night in front of the nation against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we pretty much had Mike Williams tracked down and pretty much give us a recap of that game-winning touchdown down the sideline.
Well, we called an out route to Keenan, and obviously the corners, it was playing a lot of cover two. The corners was cutting the flat real hard. Justin told me to be ready, gave me an opportunity to make a play, and I felt like nobody was going to stop me from getting in the end zone that play, so I just ran straight to the end zone.
There you go, straight to the house, and they went straight to the house with a victory, and that's what the LA Chargers had a much needed victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they contention in that AFC West to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs later on in the season.
Yeah, and you know what? That play, and Mike made a great play of catching it, seeing it, and getting to the end zone. But Justin Herbert, and we talk about him a lot, but it doesn't get stressed enough of how big a play that was and how good a play that was for him, because that was a trap coverage by the corner, and he saw it. He saw it on time. Normally, that ball doesn't go to Mike Williams. That was something they tried to trap him and confuse Justin Herbert and get a quick interception by what the corner did. And Justin Herbert saw that as a young second-year quarterback. You don't see that very much from a young guy seeing that kind of coverage coming at you, because teams don't do it very often, number one. And number two, in that situation, and to be able to react and on time hit Mike Williams down the sideline for the game winner, that put him on a whole different level from all the other young quarterbacks to me.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Rodney and Fred, do you think to date, was that the best performance, most balanced performance you've seen out of Justin Herbert?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, me, I would agree.
Without a doubt.
I would agree, 100%.
Through all the ups and downs, Nick, I think that was the big thing of him playing great early and really playing great. And then them kind of losing the momentum and getting behind, and then him coming back to make the big plays to win it. Him keeping his composure, even when Hayward was on top of him and gave him a little sucker punch. The run, you know, making first downs with his legs, not just his arm. I think it was a complete package game for him, and absolutely was his best game of his career.
Yeah, I think so. I think for a young quarterback, like you said, Rodney, to be so cerebral and to be able to read things that he needs to read so effectively and so quickly, and to be able to deliver the ball the way he did. I mean, my man was beating him with the arm, but he was out there scrambling like Randall at times. You're like, okay, where did this come from? So you're just seeing the maturation, to me, of Justin Herbert. But I know Rodney's going to be happy when I say this, but maybe not so much Fred. I don't know. But what in the world happened to UCLA? Did the Goon Squad steal their skills last night?
Hey, you know what? They just got hammered by a better team, and they came out and they were flat, and they never got into the game, and that was the bottom line. It happens,
you know. Yeah, Fred, but not like that though, Fred. You got to at least come up. You're the number two team in the country for a reason.
No, I get you, Nick. I get you, but you know, I look. It's a loss. It's a loss on the way to the tournament. Just figure out what went wrong. You know, shore it up a little bit, get back out there and go. That's a great thing. Yeah, we make a big deal about that, and they're ranked number one or number two, and it doesn't matter. Let's just get to the tournament and then have these guys ready to go. Mick will fix it. He'll be fine. They'll be okay. I mean, he didn't sound like, even after he wins sometimes, he doesn't sound pleased. But, yeah, he wasn't pleased. He'll fix it. That's who he is.
Mick Cronin is never pleased.
No, he wasn't. But, there should be a little concern because they were never in it. You know, and I think they got behind, and they never closed the gap either. They never changed the momentum. And I think that part of it, when you're, you know, it's one versus two, you know, games can always get away from you in any sport. They can get away from you at some point. But it just felt like from start to finish, they were never really in it. And that may be the concerning part.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll tell you another team that was never really in it. The USC Trojans on Saturday against UCLA Bruins. Yeah. I mean, I sat there and watched that, and I'm like, okay, so how is this going to actually change? Because now we know James Franklin's going to stay in Penn State when he was one of the names. But to me, I think one of the names that they should consider should be Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, because I think he's taking Notre Dame as far as he can take them. Rodney, I know you missed the USC, so.
But wait, why do you say that, Nick? If he's taking Notre Dame as far as he can take them, What makes him or anyone think that he can take SC further than he took Notre Dame?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons, Rodney. One, I think because I think sometimes people need a new challenge and a new voice in the locker room. And I think with Brian Kelly, the success that he's been able to achieve at Notre Dame with their tough academic skills, I mean, academic rules and regulations or whatnot. And him to be able to be in contention for, you know, the college football playoff almost every year. I think that's an accomplishment. I think USC needs somebody like his voice to be able to recruit guys, because we know his ability to recruit guys. And now he has a little bit more flexibility being at USC to be able to recruit guys, not just in Southern California, but guys across the nation. And I think that's somebody who exemplifies discipline as well. But I think this team needs some discipline, some focus. And I think Brian Kelly would be a good candidate for this team moving forward.
Yeah, no, all the things you said are right in terms of what the team needs. I just don't think he's getting out of Notre Dame. They're not letting him get out of there.
Well, who comes in, Rodney? I mean, you missed the USC, so who comes in? Fred, let me know, because I'm fresh out of ideas now.
I don't know. And whoever they do bring in, is no, you know, there's no guarantee that that's going to work either. So, you know, I know everybody throws out different names, this guy, that guy. You know, Franklin was a guy for a minute. Is Luke Fickell the guy? But if Fickell seems like he wants to stay in the Midwest, he doesn't necessarily want to come out here. You know, obviously the Mike Tomlin debacle that got him all upset in Pittsburgh, that's not happening. So, you know, you don't know really. But one thing that has to happen is the guy that whoever they bring in has to, first of all, know how to recruit and know talent and keep the kids in Southern California. But the discipline part is the one thing, and get back to being physical and playing physical football, because that's the thing that has been lacking at SC for years.
Yeah, Fred, I got a question for you, and this I feel like it's this. There may be this person who is going to be on a hot seat by Christmas Day for the Lakers. Is it Frank Vogel or Russell Westbrook? I tend to think Vogel.
Who's going
to
be in the hot seat? Yeah. Those two. Well, it's not going to be Russell Westbrook. That's for sure. It'd be Frank Vogel, and Frank Vogel doesn't deserve to be on the hot seat.
Really?
Nick, no, he doesn't. What? He's only coaching the guys he's got. All right. Nick, have a great Thanksgiving. It's wonderful talking to you. The proprietor of Nightcast Media, Nick Hamilton. Nick, thanks.
Thank you, guys. Happy Turkey Day to all of you, and talk to you soon.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An L.A. icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Red Rogan. AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey, your donations have allowed Dream Center LA to serve 7,500 Thanksgiving meals, but we need more help. Go to dreamcenter.org/donate now to make your donation today and help those who enjoy the holidays. Thank you from AM 570 LA Sports, the Justin Turner Foundation, and Dream Center LA. Details at AM570LASports.com. Ronnie, Kevin, thank you for everything you do.
You know, yes.
Without you, there's no us. We are thankful for you. Please enjoy the holiday. Be safe. Give your families a big hug. Rodney, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy, happy Thanksgiving to you, Fred, Ronnie, Kevin, everybody. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Be safe.
So I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in L.A. on bail. My people say, to live and die in L.A.